Hello, everybody. Father in heaven, I come before your throne of grace. Thank you for another opportunity which you have given me to stand before your people. I thank you for the gift of life which you have given us, Lord. I thank you for the gift of salvation. And I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord God, because you have brought us here for a divine purpose. Come and speak to us in the name of Jesus. Have your way in our midst. Allow me to speak your minds to your people. Allow me to speak your will and your heart to your people. Touch somebody in the name of Jesus for your glory. Quicken our understanding and our spirit so that we may know what we should do and give us the grace to do it, my God. I want to thank you because I've done it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank God for another opportunity which has given me to stand before you. And I thank God also for the gift of life which has given to us. Because I believe that yesterday some people were dead. But if you are living, that means it's God. Yep. Not because you are so smart. Not because you bribed God so that you don't die. And not because those who passed away that they were sinners than you. Not because God was mad of them, that's why he decided to kill them. He just decided to give you another chance to see this day. Amen. That's exactly right. Then you have to appreciate him. Amen. Don't take it for granted that you have to live. It's God. Therefore, it's very important to appreciate him every day for the gift of life which has given you. You understand? You, some of you here, you have never traveled and go to another country. There's other countries where they live by grace. Anytime they can be shoot, anytime they can kill them, but they live by grace. They appreciate God every day which they live. Therefore, it's very important to appreciate God for the gift of life and also saving you. We have some people who are not born again. And when you tell them, they don't understand it. When you tell them that Jesus loves you, that it does not think enter into their minds. Some of them, they are saying that even there's no God because they have everything. But it takes God's grace for you to understand that there is God. And he saves you. I want to thank God for Apostle Harvey, Sue, and all the ministers for the work which they are doing in this place. I believe that God brought them here for a divine purpose, and God has given them the grace to stand. Support them and stand with them. Pray for them. They need your prayers. Hallelujah. Don't just pray for yourself, me, and my children, and don't forget them. Get time and enter into fasting and prayer, praying for them, because when they are there also, you'll be able to do what you're supposed to do. Today we are going to read in First Samuel chapter 9. We are going to read from verse 1 up to verse 27. I want you to follow me very carefully so that you can understand what God has for you. 1 Samuel chapter 9, from verse 1 to 27.
Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? What verse? 27. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house, and they arose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.
God bless you. You not read. I have a topic. It says that you are not a donkey chaser. You are not a donkey chaser. Here we are going to. I'm going to pick at least 2 points here, which I believe that God will bless you through it. We are seeing a man called Kish. He had a son by name Saul. But this man Kish, he used to take care of donkeys. In fact, I believe that even his income was coming from the donkeys. He used to support his family through what he gets from the donkeys. Now, when Saul was born into that family, then his father started also training him how he can take care of the donkeys. He told Saul that you cannot survive without donkeys, because that's the only way how you can get the income to support you. He told Saul that without the donkeys, you cannot survive. Now, he taught Saul how to take care of the donkeys. He trained Saul how to protect the donkeys. He trained Saul how to chase the donkeys. Until Saul reached on the point that he was leaving donkeys. He was dreaming donkeys. He was seeing donkeys. He knew that all his life is in donkeys. And when he used to go out with his friends, the only discussion which he can discuss about was the donkeys. His friends are talking about other businesses, doing this and this, he was seeing the donkeys, talking donkeys, walking donkeys, living donkeys. That's the only language which he knew. Now, one day, the donkeys of his father got lost. Then the father told him, please, get one of your servants, because he had already trained him how to take care of the donkeys, chasing the donkeys, looking after the donkeys. Then get one of your servants. Go and look for the donkeys. It was easier for him because that was his life. It was easier for him because that was his vision. It was easier for him because that was his dream. That's the only language which he knew. Because the father had told him so. Now, he went and started looking for the donkeys. He went from mountain to a mountain. He couldn't find a donkey. From city to city, because he was trained to look for the donkeys and chase the donkeys. He went city to city. He couldn't find a donkey. Town to town, he couldn't find the donkey. Until he gave up. And told his servant, we better go back to home. Because now my father is not worried of the donkey, is worried of us. Then his servant told him, no, there is a man of God, that's verse 8. There is a man of God into this city. He's honored. Let's go and we see him. He will tell us the way. Then Saul answered his servant, but we have nothing. We don't have money. Even the blade is gone. What are we going to give the man of God? Then his servant told him that, priest, I have some silver here. We shall give it to him, so that they may tell us what to do and what way to take. Then Saul told the servant, okay, let's go. Then they went to find out the man of God, the seer, the one who is called today a prophet. Now when they met the man, they met Saul, when they met Samuel, God had told him that there's a man whom I'm bringing who is going to be the captain of my people. Then when Saul drew near Samuel, then the Lord told him that this is the man whom I told you yesterday. He's going to be the captain of my people. Then Saul asked, where is the seer? Then Samuel said that I'm the one. Come with me to the high priest. Then I'll tell you tomorrow, I'll let you go and I'll tell you what is in your heart. Mark verse 20 and 21. Now he told Saul that all the desire of Israel belongs to you and your father's family, father's house. Saul answered and said that I am not a Benjamin, the smallest tribe in the tribes of Israel, and my family is the least in the families of Benjamin. How can you say so? So he had a problem, and this problem was not on God, and it wasn't on the devil. It was his own problem. And that problem came from his parent. And you understand? Here, the problem was that the way how Saul was calling himself, that's not the way God was calling him. The way how he was seeing himself, that's not the way how God was seeing him. He was seeing himself a donkey chaser. God was seeing a king. You understand? My brother, can you come and preach with me? And you too. Stand over there. Mm-hmm. Stand here. Now let me say, he is Saul. The one who grew up in the family where they take care of the donkeys. And the father, his father, trained him to chase the donkeys. His father told him that you will never survive without the donkeys. His father told him that without the donkeys, you cannot support even your family. The father told him that, let me tell you, all these years I've been taking care of the donkeys is the good job to do. His father told him that day when I die, you have to take care of the donkeys. Now Saul started thinking about the donkeys. Seeing the donkeys, dreaming donkeys, vision of donkeys. He couldn't wake up in the middle of the night to go and check on donkeys. He could find out if the donkeys they are well fed or not. He could even treat the donkeys. That's the only business which he knew. And even his friends, he was telling them how donkeys are good. Because that's what the father told him. Now, he became what the father told him. He started living what the father told him. He started depending on this, planning his future depending on the father, what God told him. Now, he could not listen to anybody except what the father told him. His father was seeing him as a good guy chasing donkeys. His father was seeing him as a good guy who can protect and fight for the donkeys. Now, he grew up with that mentality. He grew up with that vision. He grew up knowing that's the only thing which I can do because that's what my father told me. And even his fellow friends started saying, calling him, telling him that you, Lily, you are so strong, you are powerful, you can keep the donkeys. Although it wasn't the best job to do, but that's what his father told him. Now, let's say he is God. Now, he is seeing himself as a donkey chaser. But God is seeing him as a king. Now, the battle was between what God is seeing him, between God, the way how he was seeing him, and the way how he was seeing himself. God is seeing a king. He is seeing himself a donkey chaser. Now, God is calling him, you are a king. He is saying, no, I'm donkey chaser. The problem was between how he used to think about himself and even how God thinks about him. God was not seeing him the way how he's seeing himself. God was not thinking about him the way how he thinks himself. He was seeing himself taking care of the donkeys. God was seeing somebody who is going to take care of his people.
Amen.
He was seeing himself somebody who is going to lead the donkeys. God was seeing somebody who is going to lead his people. Now, there comes a battle. This man was already conceived knowing that he is where his job is to take care of the donkeys. And God was saying, no, you have to take care of my people. Now, that is the major problem which we have with the people today. Some of you are seated here. You are what you are. You depend on what your father and mother, what they used to call you, what they used to think about you, how they used to treat you. That's what you are. Some of you, you depend on what people, what they used to call you, or what they used to think about you. Now, to come into what God calls you to be, that is the problem which you are struggling with. Here we are seeing, after Saul meeting Samuel, Samuel told him that all the desire of Israel belongs to you and your father's house. Then Mr. Saul told Samuel, I think you are talking to the wrong person. Let me introduce myself well to you, Mr. Samuel. First of all, I'm a Benjamin. Maybe you don't know that. The east of Benjamin is the smallest tribe in all the tribes of Israel. You have to know that. Second, Mr. Samuel, let me tell you, I come from a smallest family among the families of Benjamin. The only thing which we can do in our family is take care of donkeys and chasing donkeys. Now, don't tell me about that. Let me tell you, Mr. Samuel, I grew up and my mom and my dad Now my mom and dad told me that the only thing which I can do is taking care of the donkeys and testing the donkeys and looking after the donkeys. That's the only what I can do. Now don't tell me what you are saying. God is telling him what he calls him. Also, Mr. Saul, he's serious telling him what he thinks and how he calls himself. You don't know me. If I tell you my background, you cannot even stand before me and tell me what you are corrupt. I don't want it. Me, I'm a donkey chester. That's what they told me. I have to take care of my donkeys. And Mr. Samuel, let me tell you, I'm not here to hear what you're saying. I'm here you to tell me where is the donkeys. Because I've done everything. I've been running from mountain, city to city. I don't find them there. Tell me the way of where I can get the donkeys. But I don't want to hear what you're saying. Me, I'm from Benjamin, small tribe. We are so poor. I'm nobody. I don't want to hear that. I want to find out the donkeys, Mr. Samuel. Now you see the struggle. You see the battle which we have. God is calling us, and also we are fighting on what they taught us, what they called us to be. Sometimes we blame God, sometimes we blame the devil. The devil is not my friend. I hate him. That's the best. He's my enemy. But most of the time we blame him when he's not the cause. The problem is we. It is we. You are what you are because of what people they used to call you. Because people they told you, you are nobody. Now God is saying that you are somebody. You are telling God, God, I know I'm nobody. God is saying that I love you. You say, no, I'm rejected. Even my mom rejected me. My dad rejected me. Everybody rejected me. Now, God, don't tell me that. I'm rejected. God is not seeing you as somebody who is rejected, but you are saying, no, God, I'm rejected. Leave me alone. No, oh, I love you. You are my son. No, I'm denied. My mom hated me. My father hated me. Everyone hated me. Now leave me alone, God. Now, you are tormented not because God wants you to be tormented. It's because you have refused to call yourself what God calls you. Right. Hear me. God is not seeing you the way your parents sees you. God is not calling you the way your parents calls you. God does not think about you the way people think about you. God does not call you the way people are calling you. Because people, they don't understand where you are coming from and where you are going. Even your fellow parents also, they don't know where you are going, where you are coming from. They don't know. They just find themselves conceiving you, born, and they start taking care of you, but they don't know your future. They just see a baby, a man, or a daughter. That's what they see. Now, they can start calling you what they want to call you, but that's not God calls you. They can start thinking about you, but that's not the way how God thinks about you. So far, the father of Saul knew that the only thing which Saul can do to take care of the donkeys. He didn't see any potential of his son to become a king. He didn't. One person who was seeing that potential was God. You understand? Now, the way God The way how he sees you is very, very different from the people how they see you. Sometimes people, they don't realize your potential. Sometimes people, they don't realize what you are going to be. Some people, they don't understand you even. They can treat you the way they want to treat you. And don't blame them, they are people. They can call you what they want to call you. Maybe you grew up in a family which was very, very poor, that even your father could not afford to put food on you on the table. Because you grew up in a poor family, you think that also that's how you are going to be. Although you grew up in a poor family, but God is not seeing a poor guy. God is seeing us in a different way. Now, it's our duty, it's the duty of Mr. Saul to drop what their parents taught him, to put aside what their parents used to call him, to put aside what their parents used to think about him, the way how they brought him. Then he crossed over to know what God calls him. You understand? Yep. What you have to do is to put aside what you think what you are, what your parents told you, how people they used to call you, then I start looking for the way how God calls you, how God think about you, what God has for you. Amen. That battle, that problem is so big and powerful than fighting with the devil. Because the devil, Jesus overcame him. Right. And he gave us a power. We just say, in the name of Jesus, get out, and he goes. Right. But to change our thinking, to change the way how we do things, how we see things, that's the big battle. It takes years, to transform it so that you can see yourself the way God sees you. So that you can think about yourself the way God thinks about you. So that you can call yourself the way God calls you. Listen to me, everybody who's seated here. Try all your best from today. Stop calling yourself what they used to call you. Call yourself what God calls you. Amen. Stop seeing yourself the way you see yourself. See yourself the way God sees you. Stop thinking about yourself the way you think about yourself. Think about yourself how God thinks about you. Yes. Yes. That is going to be the beginning of your deliverance. That's going to be the beginning of your deliverance. That's going to be the beginning of your good relationship with your God. Because sometimes we think that God even rejected us. That's why people, they call us the way they call us. Sometimes we think that God even does not mind about us. That's why we are hurted. That's why you find some people, they said even sit at their home because they don't want even to hear something, a word like God. They think that he's a bad God. He is not a bad God. We are to blame. We don't want to see ourselves the way God sees us. You understand? Now, when you read verse 20 and 21, Samuel is telling Saul what God spoke to him, but also Saul, he's denying it. When you read chapter 10, you'll find even that day when they were going to introduce him to the people, he hid himself in two luggages. Samuel is busy waiting for Saul, the king of Israel, but he was not seen. Then he had to go and pray and ask God, I'm not seeing the man. Where is the guy? Then God told him, no, the man she has had hidden himself in under luggages. go and pull him from the luggages. Because that was still tormenting him, that no, I'm not going to lead the people. I have to chase the donkeys. I'm not a king. I have to take care of the donkeys. Then he went and hid himself in the luggages. Until Samuel went and pulled the king in luggages. A king in luggages. He's still struggling. He doesn't want to believe what God calls him. He doesn't want to think of what God thinks about him. He's still running away from God. That's what we do. Most people, they're running away from God. They don't want to believe what God calls them, what God thinks about them. Then they pulled the king out of luggages. And said, from there, here is your king. Then some people, they start asking themselves why he hid himself. The problem was what they used to call him. He couldn't believe what God was telling him to be. Stop thinking about yourself the way you think. Think about yourself the way God thinks about you. Stop calling yourself what people they used to call you. Now, it's very important to call yourself what God calls you, not what people calls you. Come here. Now, you're not a donkey chaser. God is not seeing you as a donkey chaser. God is not seeing you as a donkey chaser. You are not a donkey chaser. See yourself the way God sees you. You understand? See yourself the way God sees you. Don't remember the life which you grew up. You understand? God loves you. God knows you. Forget what happened. Forget what happened. Forget what you have ever passed through. Because God is on your side. Don't call yourself what they used to call you. Don't think about yourself depending on what they think they used to call you. You are another person. Now, I want just to give you two things which can assist you so that you can be able to call yourself what God calls you. Number one, surround yourself with the right people. Now, surround yourself with the right people. You cannot see yourself the way God sees you unless you are surrounded with the right people. So, he had a right person. He had a good servant. Because after looking for donkeys for some time, he had given up. Then he wanted to go back home. Then his servant told him, "Please, master, there's a man of God in this city." Because he had the right person around him, this right person took him to where God wanted him to be. This right person took him into the place where he met God and he realized what God called him. Through his servant, he came to know that he's not supposed to be a donkey chaser, but he is supposed to be a king. Through his servant, he came to know, no, I'm not supposed to take care of the donkeys. I have to take care of the people of God. Through his servant, he came to know that really God loves him and he has already called him through his servant. His servant, he took even a step of giving in his money. Because Saul told him that we have nothing. What are we going to give? Then the servant said, no, I have some silver here. We shall give it to the man of God. This man, because he was a good person, right person, he drove him to the right place where he was supposed to be. Now, you have to be to surround yourself with the right people. When you surround yourself with a donkey chasers, you will never come out of it. You never. Because the only thing they talk about, donkeys. The only thing which are dreaming up, they are dreaming donkeys. They are seeing donkeys. They are living that life. Now, if you want to come out of that mentality of donkey chaser, get out of those people who thinks and who sees the donkeys. You cannot say, no, I'm going to serve God in my way. I'm going to win people to Christ. And you live with some people who are not after the heart of God, who don't mind about God, and you think that you'll be able to make it. You cannot. You need to have right people around you. Now, check into the people who are surrounding you. Are they right or wrong people? Oh, Pastor, you know, all my friends, they are born again. Therefore, I think they are right people. Don't forget that Jesus had 12 disciples. But among his 12 disciples, he had one of the devil. Now, if you think that because all of them, they are born again, forget that. Get the right people who can assist you to become what God calls you to be. Who are going to pull you from that mentality of chasing that donkey. Who are going to work on your life so that you can see what the way God sees you, so that you can call yourself what God calls you, not what people calls you. Me, I don't want to depend on what people are, what they are calling me. I don't want to depend on what people are thinking about me. You have liberty to think the way you want, but I want to think the way God thinks about me. You can call me everything which you want, but I don't depend on that. I depend on what God calls about me. Now get the right people. When you see, he had his servant who was good. He was the right person. This servant drove him up to who? Where is my? Up to Samuel. Now I have another so here. Your God be there. Now this is so. His servant drove him to Samuel. Because he was a right person, he drove him to the man of God, the man whom God had told about Saul, the man whom had God told what is going to happen. He drove him there. If you have wrong people, instead of taking you to Samuel, they will drive you away from somewhere. Instead of driving you closer to what God wants you to be, they'll drive you out and they keep you in chasing donkeys all the time. Right. Now, can you open verse 1 Samuel chapter 10? We are reading verse. Let's read First Samuel chapter 10. Let's read verse 6 up to 9.
1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. You there? And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day.
You hear? And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. When the servant drove Saul to Samuel, now I'm talking about having the right people. He had number one, that was his servant, drove him to Saul, to Samuel. Now Samuel told him each and everything. When he was turning away from Saul, from Samuel, the Bible said, and God gave him another heart. Why he was given another heart? Because he met the right person. You understand? Because he met the right person. Why, Samuel, you are not given another heart? Because people are surrounding you. They are wrong people. That's why you have that hardened heart. You don't want to change. You don't want to submit. You feel you are somebody. You know, once you are surrounded with those, such people have got stone-hearted, who don't want even to listen, who don't want even to obey, who don't want even to take the advice. You never take the advice to. That's why you are still having the same heart. That's why you don't even submit to the word of God. Because people are surrounding you, they are whole heart-hearted. That's why they are hurting you every day, because those are type of people whom you have. Right. But the Bible says, when he turned away, because he met the right person. He met the right person. He had the servant, now he has Saul. He has Samuel. He was given another heart. You cannot be given another heart surrounded with the wrong people. Right. You will never know what God calls you until you are surrounded with the right people. Amen. When you read in the book of Acts chapter 4, you find that when they took Peter and John, the leaders and the elders, the Bible said that when they saw their boldness, and they perceived that they were with who? With Jesus. They perceived, they realized, and said, okay, their boldness is because they were with who? With Jesus. Right. In Uganda, we have a saying that, tell me the people whom you are hanging out with them, then I will tell you your behavior. That's right. If you are moving your friends, you are surrounded by drug dealers, you are surrounded by lobbers, you don't need to tell him who you are. Just I'll know exactly what you are. Right. Now, if your friends are non-right people, this is high time to say, God, I'm separating myself from them. If you need another heart from God, sister, come here. Mm-hmm. If you need another heart from God, get the right people. You understand? You understand? If you want another heart, get the right people. If you have, you need another heart, be surrounded with good people. Start checking your friends. Maybe they are not the right people. That's why you are not changed. We cannot change our nation when we are surrounded by the wrong people. Amen. We cannot touch the heart of God when we are surrounded by wrong people. Right. God cannot build out a nation out of us or another generation out of us when we are surrounded with the wrong people. Right. You never stop being a donkey chaser when you are surrounded with donkey chasers. Come out of donkey chasers, then you'll be able to see what God wants you to be. You will kill yourself with all those donkey chasers. There are nowhere to go. Change the people. Get out of them if they are not right people. Instead of having 10 friends, when they are wrong people, you better have two who are right. just so needed one person who can drive him to the right place. That was his servant. And when he was driven to the right place, then he got another heart and another heart because he met the right person. Then when you read down there, you find that Samuel told him to go and meet the prophets. And he told him that also you are going to prophesy. When he was surrounded by the prophets, also he started prophesying. You become with one people I'm hung up with. They impart you. They make you like them. You become like them. So he was a donkey chaser, but when he went among the prophets, he became a prophet too. He started prophesying because of the people who were surrounding him. You cannot become a man of God when you are surrounded by the donkey chasers. Surround yourself with the right people if you are to see what God wants you to be. When you read down, can you read verse in that same book, chapter 10? Can you read verse 10?
1 Samuel 10:10 through 13. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, what is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place.
Hallelujah. When he went to the prophets, also he started prophesying. Why? Because he's surrounded by the right people. Now I want just to tell you two things. Number one, get the right people to surround you. I don't care about your friends. Maybe you went in the school with them, but if they are not right people, walk away from them. Right. I don't care even if you grew up with them, but once they are not right people, walk away from them. Amen. I don't care, maybe there you are, you can name them, but once they are not right people, walk away from them. Walk away from them. If it's to delete their telephone in your cell phone, do that. If it's to delete. If they are wrong people, delete them. As you are deleting them from your life, delete them even in your phone. Because you don't need to communicate to them. You need to have the right people to communicate to. Why do you have them when they are not right people to you? Oh, everybody is hurting me. Everybody is hurting because you are surrounded with the wrong people. Everybody is rejecting me because you are surrounded with the wrong people. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 from verse 1. Can you read?
Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of ungodly. Now, if you are surrounded with wrong people, let me tell you, you are going to walk in the ungodly counsel. then they will be hurting you every day. Then it will keep you in that mentality of donkey chaser. But when you get the right people to surround you, then you'll be able to walk into godly counsel. Then you'll be able to start seeing yourself not as a donkey chaser, but how God sees you. God is seeing a king, not a donkey chaser. God is seeing a prince, not a donkey chaser, not a failure. God is seeing a daughter or a son, not a donkey chaser. God is seeing somebody who's going to touch the lives of people and bring them into the kingdom, not a failure, not a donkey chaser. God is seeing somebody who's going to lead the nation to Christ, not somebody who's taking care of the donkeys. God is not seeing you as somebody who is rejected. No, He's seeing you somebody who is loved. That's how God sees you. Look for the right people to surround you so that you can have the right counsel, godly counsel, and people that will never hurt you anymore because you are surrounded with the right people. Let it be your prayer. That has been my prayer. That God give me the right people. Give me the right people. Even in the ministry, I tell God, I need the right people to minister with. And once I feel that really there's something wrong with you, I will sit with you if we cannot agree. I need the right people to surround me. You need the right people to surround you. Don't just get everybody that you put him on the board. I know he is my friend. We grew up in the same family and we went to the same school. Oh, he's my best friend. Your best friend, first check out. Maybe he was your best friend at school. Now he's not your best friend. Maybe he was a best friend, but wrong person. You need the right. All of you who are seated here, maybe one day you were hurted by somebody. You understand? You have that wound up to now in your heart because somebody hurted you. When you keep yourself with the wrong people, that's what they have to do. When you keep yourself with the donkey chasers, they will hit you. When you surround yourself with the godly people, You are blessed. That's what the Bible says. You need to be blessed. Surround yourself with the right people. Amen. Even in the ministry, in the family, not everybody who comes before you that is your friend and you have to, you know, look for the right people. You understand? Let it be your prayer from today. Every day. Ask God to give the right people. He knows the hearts of people. You don't know the hearts of people. Right. Tell him that, please, separate me with the wrong people. Right. Because wrong people, they are there. But you need the right people. The second prayer which you have to make is God to give you another heart. You need another heart. How can you get another heart? Get the right people and start asking God for another heart. Ask God for another heart.